A specter is haunting the world.
The specter of communism.
Everyone, welcome to this episode of the CPUSA Youth Podcast Series, The Spectre. Today we'll be talking about the crisis in Venezuela, whether or not it's an economic or political crisis, or perhaps a little bit of both. And we're going to be doing this from the perspective not only of our party, but also of our fraternal party in Venezuela. And we have on the line with us a Venezuelan comrade by the name of Alex. Would you like to say anything, Alex?
Hello, comrade. How's it going?
Oh, it's great at talking to us from a long distance, but we understand that you attended our 31st National Convention in Chicago a few weeks ago. How did you like it?
Yes, that's right. It was pretty well organized. I am very well surprised about it.
Oh, awesome. It was a great convention, very unifying. And my experience in Venezuela, 2 months ago, I was there, I guess it was 3 months ago now, in April, really was incredible. It was nothing that I was expecting. You know, I was pleasantly surprised. Very welcoming people, you know, and I had lived in Dominican Republic growing up, and it felt like home almost, you know, just it was very welcoming, and the environment was nothing like we're presented with, you know, in the capitalist news and such.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so how long have you been in the communist movement in Venezuela?
Well, I have been being part of the communist movement around 5 years.
Okay. So it's been a good chunk of your adult life, you would say, correct?
Yes, of course.
And what
it
part
actually changed my whole life, I would say so.
And what part of Venezuela are you from originally?
I'm from the state of Miranda State, especially a city that is called San Antonio de los Altos. It's close to Caracas, the capital.
Oh, all right. You were close enough to live kind of, especially what I saw in Caracas, but you also live kind of like a rural lifestyle as well, right?
Kind of, yes, exactly.
Okay. And what brought you to the communist movement, to the communist party in particular, when you were younger in Venezuela? Were your parents communists, or what was happening as you were growing up to inspire you to, you know, follow Marxism-Leninism?
Well, you know, in Venezuela, after the start of the Bolivarian process, it was very popular, the word socialism or the anti-imperialist movement. One started to get informed, to study, to read, and one can see all the contradictions that all these movements have. The only people that were actually following or defending, fighting for the interests of the working class was the Communist Party, were the communists. So that's the main reason why I got close to the party, to the communist movement at the first place.
Yeah, that's interesting you mentioned that, because it seems to be a similar phenomenon here in the United States. Where people, you know, they see the rise of people and politicians like Bernie Sanders, you know, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who use the word socialism. And then when they figure out, you know, these people are kind of like more like social democrats, you know, who just reform.
Exactly.
Yeah, reform.
Right.
They want to reform capitalism under some good reforms, but they realize that that's not truly, you know, socialism. Then they come our way. They join our party, and, you know, and so it's pretty impressive that this is kind of a global phenomenon. You know, this happened to you in Venezuela, and it's a similar story to many that our comrades tell us when they join. So
it is important to see the limitations that all these movements that claim for socialism, but they actually don't have a scientific perspective of socialism. It is important to have the limitations that they have, you know, to make the right decisions.
Exactly.
To fight with who.
Exactly, to distinguish, definitely. And that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit in this episode. So my story is that I went to Venezuela. I was sent there as a delegate from the Young Communist League of the United States of America, which is the youth wing of the Communist Party USA. And this was for the General Council of the WFDY, which is the World Federation of Democratic Youth. And we were meeting in Caracas, Venezuela, in the capital, for the second Solidarity Mission, which took place the week after. And so it was really cool to be there just a few weeks, actually, before the attempted coup that failed under Guaido and, of course, the Trump administration. But a lot of the people that I spoke to there They were members of the United Socialist Party of Venezuela, which of course is the party of Chavez and Nicolas Maduro. And of course, I talked to many members of your party, the Communist Party of Venezuela, which is our fraternal party. And so did you want to tell us a little bit of the history of Hugo Chavez and how the United Socialist Party of Venezuela kind of came into power there in Venezuela?
Yeah, well, so the context of this situation was that the capitalism in Venezuela was in a very strong crisis. And it's that in 1989, there was a situation where all the people, the people from popular strata, the worker people, came to the city, and it was like a big revolt. The system essentially was in a pretty dangerous position.
You said this is in 1989. When was Chavez elected to the presidency?
Well, after that, Chavez made a military rebellion against the government, that was in force when this situation in 1989 happened. And this was in 1992. So after all this happened, Chavez went to prison. A lot of people solidarized with Chavez, including the Communist Party of Venezuela, was one of the first parties in solidarized with Chavez movement. And after that, he came out of prison. And in 1998, he was elected president.
Oh, that's right. And he died of cancer in 2011, correct?
That's right.
That's right. And during his presidency, many social democratic reforms were made, even though, I mean, I understand the oil economy was nationalized, but what were some of the other reforms that were made from 1997 to about 2011 when Chavez died?
Well, I think that the most important, the most remarkable one was the diversification of the economy, moving, displacing economical dependency from the U.S. So our international market was diversified. We started like having stronger relationships with all the countries in South America, in the Caribbean, in Africa, and especially with other big economical countries in the world. Potencias.
Yeah, and I remember growing up during the Bush administration when Chavez called Bush the devil, you know, and I remember thinking, well, Bush must not like him very much because he's not sucking up to the United States like Saudi Arabia and other countries in the Middle East. You know, Venezuela was leftist
right.
And anti-imperialist.
Yeah, 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 and you know, Venezuela is the first reserve of oil all around the world, all over the world. So it is a country very, very attractive for the capitalist in every part of this world, especially in the U.S., you know, that have always had their hands in Venezuela, in Venezuelan oil. But what I was also about to say was that not just that, you know, also many social programs, improvements in popular rights were achieved under this government. That's talking about the reforms that you asked me about.
Yeah, and I remember when I was there, I visited outside of Caracas. There was a city called, I think it's Tiuna City, where there is like housing projects that were built, you know, on military bases. They were military bases, and they were built for, you know, poorer working class people to live. And at the bottom of the first floor of every one of these apartment buildings, there were kindergartens and preschools. So people, you know, working class people could drop off their kids for free childcare while they went to work every day. And it's just incredible because, you know, you see the United States mobilizing for war against Venezuela and Cuba, but, you know, the military bases in Venezuela, they're becoming housing complexes. You just, you know, you don't hear about that in the news.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right.
And so could you tell us a little bit about the history of kind of the leftist coalition of the Great Patriotic Poll right now, in which, you know, the Communist Party of Venezuela is participating, the United Socialist Party of Venezuela, and even some social democratic parties such as Podemos, you know, the center-left parties that aren't necessarily socialism, but they're all working in coalition against imperialism and, of course, the right wing led by Juan Guaido. Could you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, the Great Patriotic Poll, it was a coalition. It is a coalition that, firstly, it was meant to unite all this party with all these different positions and build policies following or defending the interests of the working people, the interests of the nation, of the Venezuelan nation, in opposition to the interests of the imperialism. That is the same to say to the interests of the monopolies around the world, especially the U.S. monopolies. And that was in accordance to the line, to proposal that the Communist Party had about forming a broad patriotic alliance in order to achieve these things that I just mentioned. But the reality is that currently this coalition, it just works on electoral processes. So just when there are elections going on, this great patriotic poll functions. Before that, after that, they don't have meetings, they don't see each other, they don't have discussion. And that's actually one of the criticisms that the Communist Party have in Venezuela about this coalition, the Great Patriotic Poll.
Yeah, I noticed that you know, in elections, the Communist Party of Venezuela endorses Maduro for president, who has been president since Chavez's death in 2011. But in terms of ideology and strategy and tactics, you know, for building socialism, it's very different. And that's to me, that was the main difference in, you know, Marxism-Leninism, which is our form of, you know, scientific socialism, which has proven to work around the world in building socialism, versus the 21st century or socialism of the 21st century that the Chavistas, which, and you know, Chavistas, for the people listening who haven't heard that word, these are the original supporters of Chavez who now support Maduro. And generally, if you vote for or support the United Socialist Party of Venezuela, you are considered a Chavista. So what would you say is a Chavista? Is it a social democrat? Is it a populist? I mean, what's the difference between a Chavista and
Chavismo? As a base movement, you know, the people that consider themselves Chavista is a pretty broad thing. There are Chavistas that tend to the left. There are Chavistas that tend to the right. There are Chavistas in the middle. There are Chavistas openly, you know, say or propose the privatization of services, etc. But the characterization of the communists in Venezuela about the current government is that the very, very bourgeoisie and even bourgeoisie sectors are at the head of it. So that's one of the main limitations that the Bolivarian process has right now.
Yeah, and that's another aspect, kind of a negative aspect I noticed when I was in Venezuela, that only 20% of the entire Venezuelan economy is nationalized. The other 80% is still privatized. It's run by, you know, the millionaire and billionaire capitalist class, which seems to be a problem. And these capitalists supported Chavez back in the late 90s during his military coup, correct?
Well, yeah, some sectors of it, the most traditional capitalist sectors of Venezuela, they didn't support Chavez. But other sectors, even part of the traditional bourgeoisie in Venezuela, they supported it because it seemed to be an alternative, you know, to even to save the system after a strong crisis.
Absolutely, yeah. And I noticed that there seems to be no real program for socialism right now, you know. And I remember back in, I think it was 2005 or 2007, when the United Socialist Party of Venezuela was being put together by Chavez and others on the left. And they invited the Communist Party of Venezuela to participate in this, you know, party, you know, and merge. But they asked for a program in order to build socialism, and they didn't have one. And so my question now is, what is the Communist Party of Venezuela's goal in regards to building socialism? Since when I went to see Maduro speak when I was there in April, and he said that socialism to him is nothing more than Christian charity, which I thought was interesting. So what do you think?
Yeah, well, so of course the socialism that the Venezuelan government talk about is not the scientific socialism that we communists, that we Marxist-Leninists talk about. They have a petty bourgeoisie socialism and idealistic socialism that doesn't correspond to reality, you know? It doesn't correspond to the laws of how society moves forward. It doesn't correspond to the class struggle that, you know, is the first engine, the main engine of society and of history. And looking at this situation, seeing this situation, the Communist Party works right now in a double line. For one side, you know, trying to build this broad, patriotic, anti-imperialist alliance that includes sectors of the government. And it also is trying to, I mean, and this first alliance that I just mentioned, It is in, you know, in perspective to fight, to reject every kind of imperialism intervention, trying to build a national liberation process that build the basis for a future socialist revolution. But on the other side, the Communist Party is trying to build a bloc or a group of forces that just include forces with class character, working class character, that works towards scientific socialism. So that's, you know, we're working with both hands. For one side, on this critical situation, and for the other side, on this fundamental, mainly important situation that is trying to build, trying to accumulate forces and power in order to make the necessary socialist revolution in Venezuela.
And this is really making me think about the name of this revolution, which is called the Bolivarian Revolution, which, if we go back in history to the 19th century, the early 19th century in what was then called the Gran Colombia, the newly established government free of Spanish colonization, which was under Simon Bolivar.
And so what's interesting is the revolution in Venezuela is actually not a socialist revolution, even though according to Chavez and Maduro, it has the long-term goal of establishing socialism, right? Socialism of the 21st century, as they call it. But it's actually named after Simon Bolivar, who was the 19th century liberator of not just Venezuela, but the Gran Colombia, which was a collection of countries that were liberated from Spain under Bolivar's leadership, which include Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, Panama, and Peru. Simón Bolívar was born a little bit before the Communist Manifesto was written in 1848. And so although he would have been considered a liberal in the 19th century, he to the Venezuelan people is a very revolutionary figure, especially in the fight against United States imperialism, because Bolívar is famous for saying, you know, this is going to be a republic, the Gran Colombia. It's going to be a republic not just for white people like they have in the United States, you know, the 13 colonies that were liberated from Great Britain, but it's going to be a republic for all. And so that's what Venezuela really likes to see. They're a country of mixed people, you know, indigenous people, black people, white people, and everything in between. They're very mixed. And like Chavez and Maduro, we in the United States Communist Party and the CPUSA, we admire figures who are progressive and left-leaning, kind of like Chavez and Maduro. So people such as Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, Ayanna Pressley, we don't view them as enemies. And there's a lot of people on the left, you know, in ultra-leftist circles who say, oh, you know, we're tailing the Democrats. But we don't tail the Democrats in terms of the Democratic establishment. We support the progressive policies and the pro-labor policies put forth by and proposed by Bernie Sanders, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and other members of the hashtag the squad. And we view, you know, people like Bernie Sanders and the squad and other progressive independents and Democrats and socialist-oriented candidates as allies in the fight against Trump and the extreme right. So similar to how the Communist Party of Venezuela is allied with Maduro's United Socialist Party, you know, we're not in an official alliance or official coalition with Bernie Sanders or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or any progressive Democrat or progressive independent, but we view them as allies in a more broader front against the extreme right. And it's interesting, Alex, if you look at all the other communist parties in the world, except for I can think of a few maybe that act more independently, such as in Greece, but many communist parties, many of our fraternal communist parties around the globe are allied with other, you know, social democratic and socialist oriented coalitions. They participate in these coalitions in an effort to, you know, maintain power in those countries, workers' power, with their pro-labor policies and pro-people policies, in an effort to keep the extreme right out of power, you know, the conservatives, the fascists, etc. And we can see examples of this in Belarus, in Syria, in Portugal, in Spain, in Uruguay, in Chile.
What do you think is the path that Venezuela needs to take, first to combat imperialism, and then second to establish or lay the foundations of socialism. What do you think?
Well, I think that the only class that is genuinely interested in overcoming imperialist domination, that is very, very attached to capitalist domination, they are kind of the same thing. The only class that is interested in this task is the working class. So the path that, in my opinion, Venezuela must follow, should follow, and not just Venezuela, but every country in the world, is the revolution that makes that, or that put the working class in power, you know, in the power position, in order to planify that economy, in order to satisfy our necessities. And there is no way to make this under the capitalist or the bourgeoisie structures. So the only way to do this is breaking through those structures. And that's why we have to build a strong popular and workers or labor movement with a strong communist party. I think that's our first mission at this moment, at this point, building a strong working and popular movement with a strong communist party.
Yeah, I remember when I had met you at the 31st National Convention of the Communist Party a few weeks ago in Chicago. You commented on how impressed you were with our party being so deeply involved and entrenched in the labor movement and the labor unions, you know. But what do you think in terms of the working class in Venezuela? I would say the majority of them are against Maduro's party and Maduro's presidency, but the majority of them are also not in favor of U.S. intervention under, you know, the disguise of Guaido. So do you think they're thinking about real socialism? Do you think they're considering the Communist Party of Venezuela as an alternative? What do you think?
There is a lot of discontent among the people, mainly because of the crisis. Mainly because of the crisis. But of course, how you say, the people, most people in Venezuela is against an imperialist intervention that will, you know, finish, that will end with all our conquests, with all our reivindications that we have achieved under the last year, after the last years, or on the last years, but also all over our history as a popular movement in Venezuela. So right now, it's a fundamental task to overcome every, you know, attempt of the right wing support by U.S. imperialism of state power, because that will be awful for our class, for our people. I think that that's the main thing right now, fighting against this threat that we have from Venezuela.
Of course, yeah, and that's something that we as a party here in the United States are doing. You know, we have to take out the Trump administration and the Republican Party to be able to lay the foundations for socialism, and that's kind of what I see in Venezuela. And so, are you saying that even though there is the great patriotic pull of all these, you know, 9 to 12 leftist organizations and political parties, it's not up to the political parties, it's up to the working class. The working class is the army, right? And the vanguard is the guide. Is that what you're trying to say?
Right, always. Yeah. The working class is the main subject. That is the only class able to build socialism, to overcome capitalism, to liberate the whole humanity, the whole other classes pressed by capitalism. And exactly, the only way to do that is strengthening our only weapon. And our only weapon is our organization.
Absolutely.
And it is mainly expressed in the Marxist-Leninist Party, that is the Communist Party. And that same here in the U.S., there in Venezuela, in Russia, or in Singapore.
No matter what. Yeah, it's definitely a universal idea because, you know, and that's what really makes us unique as Marxists, Leninists, and Communists, is that we focus on uniting and strengthening the working class rather than all these multiple groups on the left, you know, who say, oh, we're going to unite the left, but they never truly unite, you know, but we're working class based. So with that, let's answer the question that everyone listening really wants to hear. And it's, what is the cause of the current crisis in Venezuela? We've mentioned that, you know, 80% of the economy is still capitalist, which means it is a capitalist country still. And of course, there's American intervention and the threat of imperialism. So, in your opinion, what do you think is the cause of the current crisis in Venezuela?
Well, how I say the Venezuelan economy is still being a capitalist economy. And capitalism always have crisis, you know? That's like an inherent law to this system.
Of course. Like the Great Depression.
Of course, has every country has their own specificities, his own characteristics. And Venezuela is a rentistic or a rentist country that depends mainly on oil imports, all exports, I'm sorry. And from the revenue that generates, Venezuela imports almost everything else, including food, including medicine, including materials to build buildings, everything else. We get it from the revenue that oil generates. And how this system, it always has its ups and downs, its crises that send millions, thousands of people to the streets, where it is not different in Venezuela. It is not different with oil prices. And at some point, the oil prices were at a 100 barrel. How do you say that?
Barrels, yeah.
That was a lot. That was like, even, you know, with that we could build three different developed countries. But at that moment, there wasn't enough planification. Or there wasn't planification at all in an economical way. So when prices of oil came down, you know, all the revenue of Venezuela went to the floor. So everything that we used to import, all the quantity, the amount of things that we used to import was extremely limited by that period. And after that, all the unilateral sanctions and measurements that came from the U.S. government, of course, or maybe it's better to say from U.S. imperialism, of course, made the situation way, way harder. I think that's the main cause of the crisis, the capitalism cycle that it always has been around, and that we will not get rid of it until the working class take power in its own hands and start building socialism, communism.
It's a very good response, very powerful. And so the last question I have for you, because we're almost out of time, is what can we as American communists, and even just, you know, progressives and working people who want to stand in solidarity with your party and the Venezuelan people, what can we do other than being, you know, critically supportive of the current government in Venezuela? What can we do to raise awareness and to teach our fellow Americans, our fellow citizens, you know, about the truth of Venezuela? What can we do?
Well, I think keep expressing solidarity. Solidarity is a main weapon of the peoples all around the world, because we are the same. We are working class in every part of the world, and we have the same interests. So the main thing is keep rising solidarity, especially with the working class of Venezuela right now, in this situation that is being threatened by, you know, by the imperialism attack, by a strong capitalist crisis. With the working and solidarity with the working class, with the popular movement in general, and of course, why not, with the only party that expresses the interests of the working class, and the only party that assumes a scientific perspective of reality, that is the Communist Party of Venezuela.
Well, thank you very much, Alex, for joining us this episode.
Thank you.
It
was a pleasure.
And thank you all for listening, and please write to us with any suggestions or commentary that you may have. Thank you very much, and enjoy your day.